You were just listening to Rain Dance by Martha Monk, who was our performer and is our live guest in the studio. Martha, welcome, and thank you so much for coming.
Hi, Marvin. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You got it. We'll have some fun. Martha Monk, composer and electroacoustic violist, a pioneer in the field of electric five-string viola, transcends musical boundaries by synthesizing her classical music training with extended techniques, digital effects, processing, and improvisation. She is a leading clinician on electric and progressive approaches to string playing, including the use of electronics, extended techniques, and improvisation. Monk's diverse schedule includes touring, clinics, and lecture demonstrations. She has toured internationally as a member of Barbara Streisand's acclaimed orchestra during the 2006 North American, 2007 European, and the 2012 Back to Brooklyn tours. She has also toured with Peter Gabriel and Andrea Bocelli and traveled the U.S., Canada, and Mexico with Star Wars in concert. Now, she has performed with Sir Elton John, Bon Jovi, Moby, Enya, Tony Bennett, Al Di Meola, and many others, the Orchestra of St. Luke's. She has appeared on The Tonight Show, Regis Live, The David Letterman Show, The View, Late Night with Conan O'Brien, and The Rosie O'Donnell Show. Martha Monk is founder, violist, and music director of the Scorchio Quartet. They have performed with David Bowie, Philip Glass, and others. She has received awards from ASCAP, Meet the Composer, and Arts International, among others. Besides her catalog of works for solo and ensemble electric strings, she has composed music for theater and ballet and has served as music director for national and international events. Wow, that's quite a bio. This is amazing.
I have to read that sometimes to remind myself.
Well, when I was preparing the show and I was going through this, I said, all I could think of is, wow. And we're going to talk about some of your work with Elton John and David Bowie later. This is going to be an amazing couple of hours.
I look forward to it.
Yes, and I do too, and I'm sure all of our listeners do. But before we get to that, we got to go back to the early years of Martha Monk, your early story. How did you become interested in music, and where did you receive your training?
I actually started playing on viola when I was 10 years old, I think fifth grade. There was a wonderful, in fact, I just did, was interviewed by the United Federation of Teachers publication, did an article where I talked about my intermediate school teacher, Leonard Ogren, who came to our elementary school to teach us strings, and he was really influential, and that's what got me started. I picked the viola because nobody else knew what it was. Everybody wanted to play the violin.
That's right. That's what I've heard. They talk about double bass, too, the same way with cello.
And I stayed with it because I discovered that it resonated with my soul. They actually wanted me to change to violin, and it just didn't work as the viola did. So I've stuck with the viola. I now play a five-string viola, so I have the range of both the violin and the viola. But I started on viola back in fifth grade and continued through high school and got my bachelor's in arts and performance, and my master's degree in performance, and went on from there.
Well, what music did you play when you were in college, let's say? Were you interested? I guess where I'm going with this is contemporary music.
Right.
When did you get interested in contemporary music, or was that something from the beginning, fifth grade?
Not so much, actually. I mean, I studied classically, and I, you know, played my share of Mozart and Bach and Beethoven. But it was in high school where somebody, a friend of mine, gave me a recording, and on the cover was this violin player cuddling an amazingly blue five-string electric violin. And the violinist is called Jean-Luc Ponty.
Oh, yeah.
And I turned it on, it was, you know, LP, and it changed my world
So there you go. So that was it.
And I knew that I needed to go explore in that direction. And one of the first things I did was have my parents take me down to 48th Street, which 48th Street exists, but all the music stores on that block no longer do. And I think I bought my first five-string electric violin because they weren't making violas. I bought it at Manny's.
Oh, yeah.
And then I bought some electronic gear. Mm-hmm. And I just started experimenting and playing with recordings and hiding in the basement and finding my sound.
Well, Martha, why, just for people who are, this might be unfamiliar to, describe how you work, a little bit about the instrument you actually do in the electronics and what you do a little bit.
Right. Well, I've definitely evolved, and this is the kind of thing where if you ask five people what instrument and what gear, they're going to give you 25 different pieces of advice. And so that's what I did when I started out. I asked everybody I knew what kind of amp should I get, what kind of gear should I get. And I've gone through many generations of instruments. And right now and for the past 10 or 15 years, my main instruments have been by Yamaha, who I've had an affiliation with. I'm a Yamaha artist. And to the point where they invited me to go to Japan to their headquarters in Hamamatsu and work with their design team when they were first designing their electric strings.
Wow, okay.
And the instrument that I have here mm-hmm. in the studio is a beautiful red, sort of looks like a cutaway five-string electric viola. It's actually a special model that they made for me. A one of a kind.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. If this is your, like, a unique thing for you.
It is.
And it is.
Yes. I mean, they make other instruments, but they made this one special for me because of the specifications. And I'm very honored about that. And I love to play it. It looks great. It sounds great. And I hook it up through foot pedals, like much like a guitar, electric guitar player would. Mm-hmm. So I have different multi-effects processors. I've got some looping devices. And so I become a one-person band.
That's what I was going to say. And I'm looking back here. And, you know, we're going to hear you do a couple of performances live later in the show. But as we've kidded around in the studio, I have to walk around here a certain way. Otherwise, I'm going to get stuck.
Yes, you're treading lightly. I appreciate it.
I know. And, I mean, I'm walking around. And it's quite the floor is quite interesting right now in the studio. But anyway, we're going to go now. Now in a little while to your work as an educator. But let's go on to some more music. We're going to go to a selection from your most recent CD titled No Ordinary Window. And we're going to hear your composition, Virtual Corridors. Tell us about this piece before we hear it.
Virtual Corridors, actually, it's the oldest piece on the recording. And was written probably about 15 or so years ago. The idea of Virtual Corridors, before the internet really became the mm-hmm. internet, the idea was that you had this this corridor with all these doors, and you opened a door and it would lead you to another corridor with more doors, and you would just keep going through doors and finding it's a continuous search, basically. Mm-hmm. And it explores your inner ideas. And as an improviser, every time I play the piece, it will come out a little bit different. So every time I play, I go down a different corridor, I open a different door, and that's the magic of it.
And that's the kind of like the background
right.
a little bit. Well,
exactly.
Let's hear this composition by my guest, Martha Muck. This is Virtual Corridors from her recent CD titled No Ordinary Window. Thank you. You were just listening to music by my guest, Martha Muck. She just performed her Virtual Corridors, and that was from her most recent CD titled No Ordinary Window. And we will be listening to my guest perform live in just a little while, as soon as we get everything totally set up here. But we are progressing with that. Well, let's go now just a bit to your work as a performer, mm-hmm. and more specifically to music by other composers. Have composers written for your instrument? Why don't we just go to that?
Yes, actually, I think it's very important. I'm a big proponent of contemporary music, of new music, particularly living composers. And I have a lot of friends who are composers. And when I started on this journey of playing electric viola, and there was not so much repertoire for it.
I was wondering. That was
so out of necessity, basically, I, you know, started writing for myself, and then I mentioned it to some composer friends and colleagues of mine, and it was a big learning curve for them. And so what I would do is talk to some of them, and they would come over to my studio, and I would demonstrate, and we would experiment, and they'd say, can you do this? What happens if you do that? And so out of that, I've done several concerts of works by composers who have written pieces specifically for me, and I've recorded several of them, including Alvin Singleton,
yes,
who wrote a beautiful piece. He named it Muckstuck.
I wonder how he got that name.
I have no idea. Pulled it right out of the air. And I love playing it because he also, knowing that I'm an improviser, has opportunity for me to improvise when I play it live. And I've recorded that. I've played it many times. Other composers that have written for me, Tanya Leon, Leroy Jenkins wrote for me, Dave Soldier. These were some of the first people to write for me. Laura Cartman, a wonderful West Coast film composer. Nora Kroll Rosenbaum, Victoria Bond has written for me. Some of these works have been recorded, and they're waiting patiently to be released. Anthony Cornicello has written for me, and a few other wonderful composers along the way. And also, I had the privilege of having a piece co-written for me by Osvaldo Golijov. That was premiered at Merkin Hall a number of years ago. It was a special commission, and a piece called Rakatikia, which was written for klezmer, clarinet, and violin, which was David Krakauer and Alicia Spiegels, tango bass player, which is Pablo Aslan, and myself on electric viola.
So you know what? I think let's hear that.
That sounds like a great idea.
Wonderful.
It's a cool piece.
Very, very good. Music by Osvaldo Golijov here on WPRB. Thank you. Well, Martha, what did we hear? I'm giving you the honors. People are tired of listening to me talk all the time.
That was Rocket to Kia by Osvaldo Golihoff with David Krakauer, clarinet, Alicia Spiegel's violin, Martha Mook, electric viola, and Pablo Aslan on bass.
Very good. Super. And we're almost ready to hear you perform live.
We're
getting ready, and this is going to be very exciting. But before we do, we're going to hear one more track from your new CD titled No Ordinary Window. We're going to hear Ice 4. Just say a word or two about it.
Right. Ice 4. One day I called my mother, because I call my mother every day like a good daughter, and she answered the phone. She said, oh, it's Ice 4. I said, what do you mean it's Ice 4? And she said, well, I got a new phone, and your sister told me I needed to program in some numbers in case of emergency. Ice, in case of emergency. And I said, Ice 4, but you only have two daughters. Okay.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, right. Okay.
So the piece is dedicated to my mom.
Sounds good.
So it's got a lot of really cool things in it.
Well, we're going to hear Ice 4. And while we listen to it, I will keep my ice on the CD player. I think we'll leave it alone. Music by my guest, Martha Mook. Thank you. You were just listening to Ice 4 by my guest Martha Muck, as performed by the composer. Well, Martha, welcome back.
Good to be back.
I see you're holding your five-string electric viola, and we are going to soon hear you perform live here in the WPRB studio. We have the station manager, Harrison, here, who is helping us. And, Harrison, thank you so much.
Mighty Harrison.
And it is. He is mighty, that's for sure. But anyway, before we get to the playing, Martha, tell us a bit about your work in education. In our 21st century world, I guess you could say, the work you are doing is so important because I think it illustrates to young people that you can get music out of the traditional box. If you want to call it classical music or not, it's not. You can play an instrument like that, a viola, and play something that's really of today and cool and really...
Right.
Well, kids will say, oh, wow, what is that?
Well, I've always been one to defy boundaries and categorization. And, you know, when Tower Records used to have those nice bins that they like to put titles onto, I always wondered where I would fit in on that. But ultimately, it comes down to reaching your inner voice. It's all about being able to find your voice and how to express it. And that's how I discovered the electric viola and the magic of it touched something in me between the instrument and the electronics and discovering something inside of me I never knew existed. And that is sort of what I try to impart to the people that come to my workshops, to all the educational events that I do. I go all over the country to conferences and to music education events, and I work with students from as young as kindergarten up through university, and I meld it sometimes on the spot because sometimes I'm not quite sure who's going to show up and if they have instruments, and but that's where being an improviser comes in really handy. And I also do sessions for teachers to teach them so that they can bring it back to their students to the classrooms.
I think you brought up a very good point, which is something I bring up often when I have guests and even when I'm just doing my show regular, is that so much music today is so hard to classify. I mean, when you go in, even to Amazon or you go to any website today who sells CDs or downloads or whatever, where are certain things going to be classified? I'm thinking of Bang on a Can, you know, things
right.
like that. They have influences from pop, rock, world music, so much. And instead, it would be nice if people could find it if we just called it simply music.
Music, right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, it's what happens when you call somebody a woman composer or you have to define them by something. Well, we're composers. I'm a composer.
Yes, you are.
And I learned a big lesson with my first CD. You played Rain Dance from that. And when I put that out, I think it was 1997.
Yeah, it's a while.
And I was independent. I brought the CD up. I took it in my hand to Tower Records on West 4th Street in the village. And sometimes there's nothing better than being naive. And I went up to, I introduced myself to the manager of the classical music station, classical music department. Mm-hmm. And I said, I have this CD, can you sell it here? And he listened to it and he said, I like it, give me five. And he put it in the listening station.
That's key.
And he put it right between a recording of Philip Glass and the Kronos Quartet.
And that's exactly where it would go.
And within a week, he called me and said, we need more CDs.
You know what's funny, Martha? I had a feeling you were going to tell me that.
Yep. And it sold. And it was like that every week. I had to bring five more CDs. And ultimately, he hooked me up with their distributor. And they made a poster and a whole thing. And... So that's where it began.
And back then you were thinking about coming here today on this show.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, let's go on now. Do you have any, I guess you could say, fun memory, some special memory that you have from working with a young child, some comment they may have said to you, or something kind of fun that would be interesting to share.
Yeah, I mean, it's always amazing, especially the young ones, because that when they're young, their inhibition factor hasn't kicked in yet, so they're willing to do anything. They're totally enthusiastic, and they're willing to try anything. And a few things, a number of years ago, I actually did a bunch of workshops in Cinnaminson.
Oh, sure.
That's Jersey. And the kids all came in, mm-hmm. and they had silver Sharpies, and they wanted me to autograph their violins. And I looked at the teacher, and I'm like, should I do that? And he said, anything mm-hmm. to get them to take the instrument out of the case. I mean, these were tiny instruments. And so I ended up autographing a whole bunch of violins.
That's wonderful.
It was funny.
That's wonderful.
But another one with a little bit older kid happened, and that became the name of one of my more popular workshops, where I'll go in and I'll start the session by playing some crazy improvisation just to elicit a response and get the student to play without thinking, because that's how you start accessing your inner voice. And I played something crazy, and he sort of looked around to see if the teacher was watching. And to see if he needed permission to do that. And so I came up with the title of the workshop, Am I Allowed to Do That?
Interesting. And I bet the kids, this opens up a whole world to them about music. And this is, let's face it, these kids are our feeder system who are going to be continuing our art as we progress.
Yeah, well, the neat thing is that what I show them in that session, mm-hmm. whatever it is, an hour or so, and they're allowed to do things that they're not usually allowed to do, and they understand that, but then they take those ideas with them, mm-hmm. and they form ensembles after school, mm-hmm. or on the weekends, and they continue that because I encourage them to create music, to compose, to improvise, and they keep exploring their own voices. And to tap that creativity, it's very healthy, and it starts the juices flowing in all other aspects of what they do, in including their own self-worth and their value.
Very good, very good. Well, Martha, you're getting ready to play something for us.
I am.
And before we do, I just want to remind you all that you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM, or online all over the world at www.wprb.com. You are tuned to Classical Discoveries, and I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I will, by the way, be sitting in for Classic Ross Amico tomorrow morning, and hope you can join me for that. Martha, what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play the last segment of the title track of the CD, No Ordinary Window. The whole idea came from this first piece, which came out of a commission by the Tribeca New Music Festival mm-hmm. a couple of years ago. And I came up with the title, No Ordinary Window, and that became a whole piece, and that became a concept for the CD and this project of really being in the moment of that this moment will never happen again. In a performance, you won't be sitting next to the same person, the smells in the room, the temperature in the room, the sounds. I always say I never play the same thing twice. In fact, David Bowie autographed a CD for me and said, "Never, lovely Martha, never knowingly played the same thing twice." I have that.
Oh, and I'm sure that sits as an honor in your home.
It
right?
definitely is. It's framed.
Well, Martha Muck, let's hear you do your thing.
Here is No Ordinary Window.
Thank you.
A beautiful in-studio performance by my guest, Martha Muck. Martha, now you can go back and use your voice.
I'm here.
Have a wonderful voice, though, on the
electric... I'm just spinning around on this chair.
Wow. So share with us again, that was from...
From No Ordinary Window.
And that's the title selection.
Right. Yeah, it's that segment I call Window of Opportunity.
Well...
And that employs one of the... boxes that I use, it's made by mm-hmm. Eventide. It's called the H9. It's an incredible pedal that mm-hmm. allows me to incorporate all these different harmonies.
Very nice. Wow. Well, that's performance number one. We're going to hear
right.
a little more from you in just a little while. Well, let's go now. Where can people, first of all, purchase a copy of this CD? Is it available via downloads also?
Yes.
That's part of our technology today.
It's available download through CD Baby. If you go to CD Baby and you type my name in, you can find it there. There's also a link from my website. That's marthamook.com, MarthaMooke.com.
Right.
And in fact, there's a really cool video on the front of my website of a piece that I'll be playing.